This is Baby, a supernatural Doctor Who crossover fic written by Apropos-ity, read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated G and contains the pairing TARDIS Impala.
For a moment, I love everything that I see and think and feel. I love my broken side view mirror. Cause it's so perfect, I'm so perfect, you're so perfect, you're not here. I hear the change in gears, my pile shakes as I hit 80 on the open road. This is an open road song.
She's lived a good life, she thinks. True, not always a happy one. There have been many bumps and scrapes along the way, enough to last 30 of her estimated lifetimes. And there was that one time she was left for dead at the roadside. But she likes to think that the life she has now is worth all the wounds. She remembers everything, of course. She remembers her birth, gradually rolling along the assembly line, and sitting on a podium in a showroom somewhere in Wisconsin. She remembers the card saying 3-9-9-9, propped up on her hood day in and day out, and she doesn't understand what it means, only that it's important. It means something. Something that makes every car exhaust around her spurt and stutter. Many drivers sit in her, and many more run their eyes across her frame and wish they could. But as much as she relishes the attention, the inertia settles quickly. She yearns to be out on the road, to be wanted and loved by one driver and one driver alone. And then there is Sal. A silly little man by all accounts, and life with him is so boring. But she loves him nonetheless, in that wishy-washy way she has to love every driver. With Sal, it is the same old roads, cutting across the same old puddles and bumping up the same old curbs, her back end weighed down with books and bags of old clothes. Inevitably, though, she knows that Sal isn't hers. So she isn't surprised when one day he just never reverses her off his drive again, and a truck pulls up to tow her away. She ends up lounging around on a grassy verge with a bunch of other old cars. Scrap metal, really. Old bangers who'd lived their lifetimes and spend their days complaining about their oil levels and boasting about their mileage. She tries her best to ignore them as one by one they're led away to the local wrecker's yard. It all changes when she's slowly burning in the summer sunshine, and a man in a leather jacket strides up to her and settles on her hood like he's owned her for years. She's about to protest, but then his hand steals its way across her baking metal, and all she can do is purr in contentment. She can still remember his weight on her that first time, firm but comforting, and not a violation at all. He knocks on her hood and says, "Trust me, this thing is going to be badass when it's 40. And she believes him. She really does. And silently vows then and there that she'll wait for him for as long as it takes. Even when she's 40. She's guilty at first, letting John ride around in her. But she comes to love him and his sons just as much as her mystery driver. Even when they savagely carve their names into her body, and force their toys into her nooks and crannies. They leave old scars in her, but she can't hate them for it. The memories of cradling them in the back seat, their heads knocking against the windows on road trips, carry her miles more than she ever expected to go. It's when the older boy turns 17 and slides easily into her front seat for the first time that she knows. She knows! She knows in the way he slides the key into the ignition and turns it reverently, at the slight intake of breath as she roars to life around him. Roars! She tears off down the road as his foot comes down too hard, touches the floor, and for the first time she doesn't care when she stalls because it's him. She learns his name quickly. Dean. Dean. Everyone's always interrupting him with that non-word when his palms slip along the curve of her wheel, or when he's laid under her and telling her things she can't begin to understand, easing her open with a gentle, knowing touch. They age together, him growing older, her just growing old. She doesn't notice it until one day Dean gets into the car and her hinges shriek in protest. It's grating and embarrassing, but he just pats her dash and says, "Don't worry, baby, I got some grease in the back." Once, and only once, he takes a tire iron to her, and her metal heart breaks for him, even as he beats a hole clean through her trunk. She counts every clang of metal on metal, 17, and holds him up when he collapses onto her. He fixes her up a day later, hammering her body back into place. He leads her onto the road, and she tells him, the sound of her wheels sliding over gravel, that she forgives him. Now, she is weighed down with all kinds of odds and ends, things she knows that normal drivers shouldn't have. Things that spark and crack in the night, that blow out tires and shatter windshields. There are things that other cars couldn't even dream, sitting in showrooms and running the daily commute. She thinks she's seen everything, done everything with Dean. That is, until the sound of unfamiliar whirring, of metal scraping against metal, sends her brakes screeching. In front of them, in the road, a car winks into existence. It's unlike any car she's ever seen, vertical rather than horizontal, with no windshield or indicators, but it is unmistakably a car. Suddenly the doors are thrown open with a whine and its driver steps out, as much an oddity as the car itself. He doesn't move like Dean does, and when they both meet in the middle, it's a confused exchange she can barely keep track of. She hears, "Doctor," but it doesn't mean anything. She turns her attention to the familiar hum of engines, but they're nothing she's ever heard before. There is no burning smell of asphalt or dirt roads, just something different, lingering on the air around this strange little box. It's been places, she knows, the same places she's been, but not. They stand, facing each other awkwardly, her sleek black finish clashing with escort blue, and her quick-aged eyes cast over its form. She sees the wear and tear clinging to its surface, the same nicks and scars that she's taken over the years. She sees the telltale signs of a boy becoming a man, the same life that she had with Dean, and for the first time in a long while, she speaks to someone other than her driver. "Hey," she says, "I'm Baby." There's a long pause. Long enough for her to wonder if it can even understand what she's saying. It certainly seems foreign. She's never heard of a public call model before. She knows Mustangs and Firebirds, Fords and Pontiacs. Police box is completely unheard of. But then it speaks. "Sexy," it replies. The non-word drawn out carefully as if it's not sure it should be saying anything at all. Then, "Oh, is that my voice? Sorry, it's just, I've never spoken to anyone, you know. I'm more of the listening sort, you see. And, well, I don't think many people like the look of me being so different. I mean, I don't exactly have wheels, and that puts everyone off, and..." She sits back and thinks, letting the sound of gentle whirring stir her imagination. It's an unusual name, but she remembers all the times Dean had said it in her back seat, working on the suspension of slimmer models with different parts to him, so maybe it's more common than she thinks. She casts her eye over to Dean and sees him laughing in a way he hasn't for years. "Sexy." She tries the word and finds she likes the way it rumbles across her grill. "Well, sexy, I think we're going to have a good time." The pitch of Sexy's strange foreign engines changed to a wicked hum, and she feels a frisson of something she can't explain run down her frame at the sound. Oh, yes, Sexy agrees. A very, very good time. The end.